Seated. Tonight we continue our brand new series in the prophets. It's only our second installation of what I anticipate being an extensive series. Remind you that I intend to, the Lord willing, in the next months and I'm sure over a year, etc., we'll be examining together the prophets and seeing what they call us to do, what they call the people to do in their time in Scripture, what we're called to do today, how these things apply to us. And again, we're just in the second installation. I'll turn your attention to Deuteronomy chapter 18. We looked at these verses some last time. We'll pick up again in Deuteronomy 18, beginning in verse 15. We're going to be looking at a number of texts. So as you should with anyone who's teaching or preaching, have your Bibles open. Compare what's said to what the Word of God says. Children, here are your questions for this evening. First, do true prophets of God come up with their own stuff to tell people? Two, why do you think the Bible is so full of warnings against false prophets and teachers? Three, will God deal with false prophets and teachers kindly? For Jesus says, false prophets are wolves in sheep's clothing. What does that mean? And five, what has God given us to help us know if the words of preachers and teachers today are true? Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning in verse 15, this is the word of God. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you, from among their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. There ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Mighty God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, and we know that your word is truth, and we know that you have spoken, and we know that a message that claims to be from you must square with your holy word. And so even as we come to the point of preaching tonight, we ask that you would please help the preacher, the Lord who is no prophet, who is called to bring your word forth. Please send your spirit. Please grant us, your Holy Spirit, each one of us, that we would have ears to hear and hearts to receive, that we would not harden our hearts against your word, but that we would receive from you and respond accordingly. We come to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, there are a lot of wackos out there who claim to be prophets. There always has been. Wackos who start cults, wackos who lead people terribly astray in ways that we may not understand unless perhaps we had been in a cult ourselves at one point. We have a phrase, they drank the Kool-Aid, or they're drinking the Kool-Aid. Some of our younger people might not know that that actually comes from an incident that happened some years ago of a cult leader who led people astray and had them all drink poisoned Kool-Aid and they all died together. So even some of our phraseology and our common terms come from these wackos that lead people astray. I could name a number of them, and you would be familiar with some, and you might not be familiar with others, but the world is filled with cultic leaders who deceive people. False religions, almost all of them have some prophet or another, or that they call prophets that they say speak from God. You think of even the media embracing this phrase, the holy prophet Muhammad, giving credibility to the one who all of Islam points to. Ironically, even our secular media is willing to call him the holy prophet Muhammad. You can be sure that you will not hear around Christmas time when people are quoting Isaiah and may even make the news that you'll hear about the holy prophet of God, Isaiah. But tonight we want to talk about prophets that are within the bounds of God's covenant people. In other words, those prophets that are from the Judeo-Christian tradition, or at least those who are found in Scripture. And even in Scripture, we'll find not God's prophets, but we'll find some prophets that just seem like wackos. And there are prophets, or so-called prophets, or people who call themselves prophets, even today, that we look at them, rational people with the Word of God, and we say that they're wackos. I'll never forget one that I made it a habit on certain days of the week when I was doing my internship. It was not part of my education. It was not part of my internship, but at lunchtime I would slip into a side room in the church, and there was an old TV there, and I would get some local station, and there was a preacher on there, and the guy was a wacko. And he would come as close to the camera as he could, and he'd distort his face, and he'd just say things that just added up to nothing. And he always ended by asking for money, and the crazy thing is, and you would wonder why, he got tons of money. But he would always do this stuff in the name of Christ. And so there certainly are wackos who speak in the name of Christ. But I would say that the wackos and the ones who are obviously heretics are not the ones that we have to concern ourselves with the most. It's the smooth talkers. It's the subtle ones. It's the ones who are able to convince people of things that aren't true in a very alluring way. We are only in the introduction of our series on prophecy, but at this point it's important for us to know that we need to be able to discern and make distinctions between true prophets and false. And I'm going to lump into the theme tonight the idea of preachers and teachers and seminary professors. Because even while they can't claim to be prophets themselves, they stand in the position of speaking, or supposed to be speaking, what God has said. Again, it's a big topic, very broad. As we progress ahead, we'll meet many false prophets. At times, they'll be at direct odds with God's true prophets. Now, our emphasis, for the most part, will be on those who we love and respect in the Scriptures, but we have to deal with the false ones as well. But as tonight, in a broad way, we have to remember we've got to discern between those who speak the truth and those who speak lies. Apostle John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." And it's again the ones who we find in the midst of the church that we have to concern ourselves with. You may remember when Paul was leaving Ephesus with tears, one of the things he was greatly concerned about, that he warned the elders about, was that wolves were going to rise up among them. We read in many of the letters in Scripture that the false prophets and the false teachers were right there with them in their love feasts. And so they were very subtle. They were right there within the body of Christ. And so we have to test the spirits to see whether they are from God. That's why we have to hold everything up against the Word. I know two young people who were recently in New Zealand, and they found themselves in a situation where there was false teaching, there were lies, and thankfully they had the discernment along with some of their friends to measure what the speakers were saying with the Word of God. And the more they understood what was being said was not in accord with what sound doctrine says, they knew well enough to leave, and I'm very thankful for that. And so that's why we have to measure all these things, test all these things against Scripture. We're not so much talking about people who misunderstand or maybe even misapply some things in Scripture. We're not talking about those non-essential things that may in fact be errors but are not seriously damaging. We're talking about things that actually end up being another gospel. Talking about false prophets. Now that may sound like an oxymoron. Children, an oxymoron is two words that just don't seem to go together, right? It would be like you saying, "Thanks, Dad, that was a good spanking." It's not, they don't seem to go together. So false and prophet don't seem to go together. And yet Scripture reminds us that there are many false prophets. They claim to have the voice of God, but they're not true. They're in error. They're liars. They're deceivers. But again, we look at them up against God's prophets. And so a quick review of what we look for in a true prophet. First of all, they're called by God. They're given the oracles from God. They've received their calling from God. We're going to see that as we begin to examine all the prophets, that's exactly what needs to be in place for all of them. God's prophets. We need to recognize them. We'll recognize them when their words jive with God's word, when the words ring true with what we see in Scripture. We will be able to discern whether it's the voice of God. Here's one test of a prophet here in Deuteronomy. If what they say doesn't come true, they're not a prophet. But remember, prophets don't always tell about the future. They sometimes speak about the past, they sometimes speak in current sense, and they other times speak in Scripture, or future. I'm speaking of Bible prophets now. One thing that we will see in a true prophet is that somewhere in their dreams or visions or oracles or whatever God has given them, somewhere there will be the gospel, and somewhere we will see Jesus on the horizon. When we look at the Old Testament prophets, New Testament prophets will always point back to Jesus. They'll always point to the gospel. But if there's no gospel and if there's no Jesus, that's a good indication that it's not true prophecy or true oracles, or for that matter, even though it's not the same thing, true preaching or teaching. We'll know by their deeds. What are they like? They're still sinners, but they fear God. And they'll pursue holiness and they'll walk in the ways of the Lord. Scripture tells us that we can and must listen to them. They speak the truth, the objective truth that God has given them. But they also speak the truth with candor. And I know that it's hard to separate those two words, but what I'm thinking of is that a true prophet will have the ability to tell the truth, whatever the cost. However hard it might be, whatever offense might come from it, a true prophet is willing to tell the good, the bad, and the ugly. Confidently, because it comes from God. When you turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. Prophets, to hark back to our children's question, prophets do not make up their own stuff. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. Peter is speaking about his own apostolic preaching. And he refers back to the prophets, and the apostles and all the believers in the New Testament had full confidence in the Old Testament prophets. Peter is reiterating that here and likening himself, in fact, to one of those prophets, or many of those prophets. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So we can have confidence in the prophets and the apostles and all those who have spoken God's truth in the Word. The question for us is, are we ready to hear whatever they have to say? There were many in Scripture who did not want to hear what the prophets had to say. We'll see instances of that throughout. And so that's God's prophets, but now let's consider the false prophets. Many false prophets in the Old Covenant. Many were pointed to, many met a very serious demise. But let's jump ahead to what Jesus says about false prophets. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We were in this area last week, and now we're in Matthew 7. Listen to what Jesus says, beginning in verse 13. "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Jesus does not have kind words for false prophets. And there's a reason for that, because they lead people along with themselves to destruction. Recognize them. Are they easily recognizable? No. It's Jesus' point. They're not easily recognizable. They very cleverly cover themselves just like one of you, just like one of the sheep, but inside they're ravenous wolves, they're hungry wolves. They want to eat you up. Sinclair Ferguson says, "We boast that we can spot a heretic from 100 yards, but we can't spot a good one from 100 yards. No, they make themselves almost invisible in the midst of the people of God. but their words don't measure up to God's words, and their deeds don't measure up to God's standards. Now, there's a variety of motives. Some are said to be self-serving. Some do it for money. Some are simply just egotists. But at best, they themselves are deluded. At worst, they intend to deceive others. Do not listen to them. They are lying. And they will make that wide path smooth, paved very smoothly, but it's a path to destruction. That's how we were led into that text from Matthew 7. Again, they're headed for destruction themselves, and they're leading people along with them, the blind leading the blind. If you turn 2 Timothy chapter 4, calling to this young man of God handling the word, 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 1, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myth. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Paul warning Timothy back in those days that there will be people who just want to have their ears itched. I can't help but think of my cat who loves to have behind her ears itched. She just kind of lies there and takes it all in. The problem is when we're soothing a person who's on their way to destruction, that way they're being soothed into hell. That's what false prophets do. That's why they're so dangerous. That's why Jesus condemns them. They're filled with deceit. And we should expect today to see them the same way they saw them in the New Testament, the same way they saw them in the Old Testament. We will hear more and more false prophets, false teachers, approving godless things in the name of Christ, in my name, in Jesus' name. So we have to listen very closely. They will tickle itching ears. They will make people feel good. They'll rarely, if ever, talk about sin. They may build people up and tell them they're fine. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Sometimes I get very disturbed when I hear people that I know are God's people listening to some of these very popular teachers who are heretics and false teachers. But they're very smooth. And right now I don't see the value of naming names, but they're out there and they're popular. There will be some who will call evil good and good evil. Listen. It's a lot in the church that are approving immorality today. That's our biggest challenge, people. In this climate of more and more embracing immorality, it's people in the church approving abominations, calling that which is evil good and good evil. There will be those who will, like the old prophets, old false prophets, who will say to God's people, there's peace, peace when there is no peace. They'll tell people that they're good and they're okay and they don't have to worry about anything to do with their sin or eternity. It's all peace. It's all good. But their voices clash with the voice of God. And this is not just about who's right and who's wrong. It's a matter of truth that has eternal implications. I had a friend who, I think overzealously, any time he heard something that didn't agree with his particular niche of theology, he'd say, "That's a teaching from the pit of hell." But I will tell you that this kind of false teaching is from the pit of hell. And it comes from the father of lies. And it shouldn't surprise us that his minions, these false prophets and false teachers, are so clever at their disguises. I mean, the devil even comes as an angel of light. And they come in very interesting ways. If you think about, for instance, Paul's letter to the Galatians, Paul's big concern is not those who are way out there and wackos. His concern are those who are taking the Old Testament and all those things that were put to an end at the death of Christ and his shed blood, and they're putting it upon Christians, particularly Gentiles. But what does he say about them? He says they're preaching another gospel. What they're preaching is not the gospel. And you know what he says? Let them be accursed. He says it twice. Let them be damned. Why? Because their lies lead people to hell. They'll tell you things like you don't need to repent, you don't need the grace of God, you don't need the atoning sacrifice. All different angles, it's all false. But I can tell you this, it's not a good thing to be a false prophet. We'll look closer, the Lord willing, in the future at the false prophet of Revelation. But listen to this about the false prophet in Revelation. The devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. There is a place for those kinds of false teachers that is described in some of the smaller letters as a place of blackest darkness. And the voice from the pit of hell clashes with the voice from heaven. And the voice of heaven comes to mankind and tells mankind, fallen mankind, about himself and about ourselves and our desperate condition without him, our desperate need to be reconciled to him, and in his mercy, he tells sinners that there's a Savior called Jesus. That's the gospel. That's love for sinners. And those who hold people back from the gospel are not speaking the truth in love, but quite the contrary. So why does it matter? Why should we be so concerned about this? Well, for some reason, there's a segment of the world that will listen to prophets and teachers. I think that's why preachers and teachers will be judged more strictly. There is more accountability because there is some authority and persuasion. It matters because whatever is not of God and his gospel will keep people in bondage. Now, when God sets someone free, that bondage of deceit and unbelief is easily broken by the power of Almighty God. But as far as their message is concerned, whatever is not of God in the gospel will keep people in bondage, will lead them away from God and into darkness. On the other side, I should say overall, though, it's the truth that sets people free and guides them in the right path and leads to light and life and eternal life, reconciling people to Almighty God through Jesus Christ and the mighty work of the Holy Spirit. Hear the voice of the prophets of God who tell us the truth that we so desperately need to hear and that the world so desperately needs to hear. Let's pray. Lord our God, once again, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for those who are true to your word and that we at one point or another, because someone was faithful to explain the gospel to us, we were able to see. We were able to feast our eyes on the truths about who you are in all your glory and your majesty. We were also made to look at ourselves in all of our sinfulness and depravity. But in your gospel of love, we were also led to look to Jesus Christ, the Savior. And in believing in him, Son of the living God, receiving from you something that we would never merit or deserve, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. How thankful we are that you have given us your truth, and your truth has set us free. Lord, we ask that you would preserve and protect your faithful ministers, faithful teachers. Help them to speak the truth without fear. We know there are many speaking lies. Lord, we pray that you would stop their work, that you would stop their mouths. We pray that they themselves, especially those who would dare to proclaim lies in the name of Christ, would, before it's too late, see Christ for who he is and repent and believe that they themselves might be saved, and then in turn tell others finally the truth that will set them free. Lord, again, we thank you that you've spoken to us, and we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.